session. We are continuing our short series on Gilgalim, reincarnation.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome home. Welcome, where's somebody home? Welcome back to Toth. So we're now going to look, Bezat Hashem, at a number, large number, depending on how many we get through, of different examples of Gilgalim. Examples of Gilgalim that are written about in the various places, in the Arizal, talks a lot about them, and other places too. Now, when we talk about these Gilgalim, we have to remember that it doesn't necessarily mean that it's the entire person coming back. It can mean that it's a part of their soul that comes back, and that part needs to be fixed. Right? In the case of a Gilgal. Right? It doesn't mean it has to be the entire person. But there is some... it's known that many Gedolim, they will stand up when a person comes in the room, like especially children who are very handicapped. Autistic children, for example. Autistic children, so Gedolim, not all of them, I don't know, I can't speak for all of them, but there's generally known that Gedolim, there are very Gedolim who are in an autistic person walks in the room, they'll stand up. Why? Because this person is actually a very high neshama. Mm. And he's come back in the world for a very limited tikkun. A person who is autistic and has and similar types of issues, they're not here. They're here for their ability in this world is very narrow. It's very limited. So they're, why is that? Because they're fixed otherwise. For example, they're completely patur. They completely don't have to worry about mitzvahs. They're patur from all mitzvahs. An autistic person, a person who's not mentally competent in terms of halakha, it doesn't have to do any mitzvahs. They're not obligated by anything. Right? What does that show? It shows that they don't need that. They don't need the mitzvahs. They don't need to be fit. The mitzvahs are to fix us.
But can they do avers?
Not knowingly. Not knowingly. For an autistic person, you've not got control of their limbs and hits you, right, doesn't get punished for that. Right?
Can he do the Chalos Shabbos when he's told Shabbos
is Shabbos? No, because he's patur from all mitzvahs. Patur. Not allowed to use him like a goy, kilo. Can't be a Shabbos boy. He's got the din of a Jew.
But in his personal, the lights on in Shabbat.
No, he's correcting someone. If he's
in a dati environment,
doesn't matter. You're allowed to educate him for practical purposes, right? If you're in a dati home and you've got a child that's turning on and off lights on Shabbos, it's not wonderful. So you're allowed to educate, but in terms of his liability, no. He doesn't have liability for that. So what that shows is that Hashem didn't bring him down here for that purpose. Right? The rest of us, who are bound by those rules. Because we've got to fix ourselves through the mitzvot. You see also, interestingly here, plug for the Shalom Bayit Shir, you see from here that women who are not bound by the positive mitzvot, Zman Grama, the time-bound positive mitzvot, they also don't have that rectification. That's not what they're here for. And men, we've got them all. We've got... That's our rectification. But someone who doesn't have those mitzvahs, it means that what they've got to fix is actually very limited. So a person who, an autistic person, potentially, we don't know because we know nothing, but from our gedolim that know stuff, that they're actually very high neshama, they're like gedolim, that just came down to, for whatever fix they needed. Similarly too on those who, babies, etc., that die young, only come into the world. Some come in for a very short time, just to whatever they need to do, and then they're out, they're done, they're fixed. They didn't need to stay around. Yeah.
Practical observation. When I heard Rabbi Brody say this, I definitely felt it was true. And I have a friend where the son is autistic, and for the first, like, from age to we start eating until like 6 or 7, he only would take bread and water, and that reminded me of, you know,
All right.
In a school environment, it is extremely difficult to teach autistics.
To teach?
Okay. Don't disagree.
I was in a school that had a major that was specializing.
And obviously, the other part of that jigsaw is that whoever the autistic is born to, whatever family, whatever parents that child is born to, then he's largely their ticket. Right, he's coming to for the parents to the parents to have to do all the work in that situation. They'll have to really, right? So it's there.
And for a school administrator, it's pulling their hair out, especially during recess.
Tom, anyway.
It's equal also for the people to take care of them.
Tom, okay. So let's. I'm just gonna take you through what it says here. So in terms of mostly these are from the Arizal reincarnations, which are discussed by the Arizal. Also, there's a book which was written by Rabbi Menachem Azariah, I don't know who he was, called Reincarnation of Souls. Top. Okay, so he says as follows. These are different reincarnations that we're told about. Two different souls reincarnated into Devorah, the judge and the prophetess. There's a judge and prophet in Israel called Devorah. Right? The first was that of Tamar, who we read about last week. Okay. Why? Regarding Deborah, what's Deborah known for mostly? She sat, where did she sit?
Yeah.
Where did Deborah sit? Under the Tome Devorah, the palm tree of Devorah. Right? She sat under the palm tree. Right? Under the Tome, the Tamar. So there's a textual link there to Tamar. And the fact that Tamar sat at the crossroads, right? She went and put herself at the crossroads and she sat there in the road waiting for Yehuda to come along. Right, so the part of the tikkun was Deborah. Deborah sat under the palm tree in order to people come and ask her questions. Like a tikkun for improper sitting. Like that's key to what she did wrong. She sat in this place. And that was the tikkun for that. The other soul that reincarnated into Deborah, different parts of different souls. So here we saw Deborah had two different souls. One half the part was coming from Tamar, and another part came from Zipporah. Who's Zipporah? The wife of Moshe. Zipporah, wife of Moshe. Why?
Zipporah?
Why? The reason why she? No. So why was she reincarnated into Deborah? Because it explains here that when Moshe went to Egypt, Zipporah accompanied him on the way. We know that, and she circumcised the sons on the way. But then, according to the explanation here, we don't have explicit something on the Torah. Moshe sent her back. She didn't come with him to Egypt. She didn't come down into Egypt. She went back to Yitro, her father-in-law. Right, she only came back later when he brought her, Yitro brought her baby. Well, she came later anyway. So that means she didn't come out of Egypt with Am Yisrael, and she didn't go through the Yam Suf, and she didn't merit to sing Shirat Hayam with the rest of the women who sang. So, therefore, she reincarnated into Deborah. And who did sing after the defeat of Sisera's army? She sang one of the 10 songs. There's 10 songs that were sung by, I think there's 9, maybe we're going to sing the last one. Huh? So she got to sing 10. What happened to them? That's a good question. Did they come with Moshe? I don't know. Anyone? Any? No? Did they go back home with Zipporah, or did they come with him to Moshe?
Yitro.
He brought his wife and his children.
And about the boys.
Yes.
Yeah. They went back with her.
They went back with her. Yeah. Okay.
They did a lot of wrestling together. the white little kids, the cookies.
Okay. So next we have Yehudit. Yehudit, who was Yehudit? Yehudit was at the time, it's Hanukkah, no? The time of Hanukkah, the woman who entered the camp, no, a different time. The woman who entered the camp of the Greeks in order to break the siege around Jerusalem, right? That was the time, at the time of the war that Deborah fought, in order to kill him. No, she was the soul of Yael.
Yeah.
Yehudit was the soul of Yael. And what did Yael do? Yael went into the camp, went to the head of the army,
Greeks.
And
Greeks.
And no, you haven't said which story, so I don't know which story.
So, she was not married to the leader, then she gave him wine, then...
Yeah, so there's a few different stories about women going and doing this. So this is what they're saying. So this is saying with the actual reincarnation. So the first one was Yael. Yael went into the camp, slept with the... first she gave him milk to drink, apparently. Milk or cheese, right? And then she slept with him. Right? And the Gemara over there explains that in detail. It wasn't. There's a story there. A person should look at it themselves. Tom, it says that she slept with him 7 times to completely exhaust him. And there's an explanation to the read from the Pasuk. You can see in the Pasukim how that comes out. Tom, so it says over there. And then when he was exhausted, she took a tent peg and put it through his head.
Gave him a splitting headache.
Gave him a headache, right?
He had
a headache. Okay. Now, although she was judged favorably because she did it to save Am Yisrael, she still had the blemish of sleeping with him when she shouldn't have done that, ideally. Therefore, in order to rectify this, she reincarnated into Yehudit, who was a very similar story in that she fed him dairy products, and then he got thirsty. She fed him cheese, and it was salty cheese, so then he got very thirsty, so she fed him wine, and then the wine knocked him out. And then the wine knocked him out, she chopped his head off. Right? But she didn't have to sleep with him to do that. So she kind of rectified the earlier attempt in the form of Yehudit.
With the sword.
She took his sword. She took his sword. So when was Yael and when was Yehudit? Yael was beforehand, right? Because Yehudit was the reincarnation to fix it. But I know it's not clear here. Here it says the time of Sisera.
Good.
So Yael killed Sisera.
The time of Deborah,
Sisera or Sisera?
Both of them.
Both of them.
And Yehudit
killed Holofernes.
Killed Holofernes.
Holofernes.
At the time of Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Right.
The kids were a guy who lost his head over a good looking Jewish woman.
Yofi. Okay. Tov. Okay. Another reincarnation. The wife of On Ben Pelet. Who was On Ben Pelet? And who was his wife? Anyone remember? On Ben Pelet. On Ben Pelet.
In the Korach Rebellion.
Yofi. In the Korach Rebellion.
And On was from the tribe of Reuven.
Right. And what happened? What was the story of On Ben Pelet? What was the story?
Well, he was considering going along with Korach.
Yafet.
And his wife said, think a little bit.
His wife,
you're going to student this, student that. What do you get out of going against Moshe for? And he started to be like, okay, maybe you got something there, lady. And in order to scare off Koch and his fellows, she sat at the entrance of the tent and let her hair down.
Acting like she was...
So that they would talk. And okay. So they said, if he lets his wife have her hair exposed in public, we don't want any part of him. I left them.
Right,
in the meantime, she saw that he went to sleep.
Right. Okay. So, okay, your feet.
Give him some sodium pentothal, put him to sleep.
Yeah, we need a lot of that. So, so here the general pshat is that Onfen Pelet was going to be part of Korach Rebellion. His wife persuaded him not to. They came back later as the parents, the mother and father, the wife and husband again. Wife and husband, this time wife and husband of Shimshon, Samson. Right? And the mother was called Zelophehad. And she merited to be first, she was first visited by the angel who told her that they were going to have this son, right? If you remember the Haftorah, the angel says, you're going to have a son, and he's not allowed to drink any wine. And the angel first comes to the wife, and she comes home and tells the husband, and he doesn't know what to do. And he says, if the man comes back, the angel comes back, tell me. And then he goes, but you see from that story that the man is the weak one, and it's the wife that does everything. So that's the... I don't have anything else. Top. Next. Naomi, the mother-in-law of Ruth and Naomi. So Naomi had a spark of Leah, and Ruth had a spark of Rachel. When Yaakov was ready to marry Rachel, right, he switched and he got Leah, we know that. But so that Leah wouldn't be humiliated, Rachel gave her the special signs. Right? She did her kindness for her sister. Therefore, when Ruth gave birth to Oved, right? Ruth has a relationship with Boaz. She married Boaz and has a son called Oved. That son, Oved, is then referred to as the child of Naomi, right? Naomi then, Kilu takes over as nursing the child, and it's my child, and right? This is because Oved was the soul of Yehuda, who was Leah's son. And Leah's now being reincarnated into Naomi. Why Yehuda? I don't know. Doesn't say. Maybe we're
because,
I don't know.
Because
wait in the women's section.
Mashiach comes from.
Yeah.
Ah, Yafet.
Right.
Yehuda, Yafet. Yafet has to be the descendants of Yehuda. Yafet. Thank you. Tov. Okay. Next. So, in the early generations of Bereshit, Lemech was Lemech. Remember Lemech?
Yeah, it was real Lemech.
So Lemech is described as having two wives,
mm-hmm.
Ada and Zillah. Ada, who he has children from, and Zillah, who he doesn't have children from, because the Midrash says that he gave her a contraceptive potion in order that she wouldn't have children. Mm-hmm. Although, in fact, she did conceive and later she gave birth. Oh, but anyway, so what happens? So Lemech reincarnates into Elkanah, who also had two wives, right? Hannah and Peninnah, right? Peninnah, who had many children, was the incarnation of Ada, who had lots of children from Lemech. And Hannah, who didn't have children, was the reincarnation of the other wife, Zillah, who didn't have. Hannah prayed to have a child, and she was answered. She gave birth to Shmuel. His birth and her prayer were the healing for drinking the contraceptive. Mashma from that, she knew she was drinking it. And in order to rectify the fact that she knew she was drinking that, she wouldn't get pregnant, she had to go through the process of being Hannah and then crying out to rectify that. Now she actually really wants children.
It was being hugged among the goyim for many generations. They went two wives.
One to bring children,
and the other one to keep her birthless. She could stay looking young and
Keep the guy happy.
keep it talking over.
He's talking about God was married when he had no missing son. There's no children. He died. So now using the next son he had to marry him, but there was no son. But from the family, it was the Boaz. And we have to do the incarnation was the son from the
maybe. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Is it obvious? It makes sense to marry her because the first child is not going to see her.
Uh-huh. And then we die. But she did have children. She did have children.
She had the baby because it was her son.
Yeah, but she did have children. They just died. She did have children. Naomi had children.
Yeah.
But they died.
The son died. With no children.
They died.
Now, who would take Boaz? Boaz was in the family. Now she gets the child, and Naomi realized it was a son. You know,
her grandchildren. Yeah. Okay. Next. Sarah Imenu. Right? We know that Sarah Imenu suggested to Abraham that he take Hagar as a wife. Hagar became pregnant immediately. And she belittled Sarah. Hagar was reincarnated into the handmaiden, the shifra of Jesse, Yishai, the father of David. Father of David HaMelech was Yishai, who separated from his wife, right, out of concern for a ruling about whether or not he was allowed to be with his wife. Toby doesn't explain it here.
He was with the handmaid of the boy.
That was the handmaid who told the wife to go, the real wife to go be with Yishai.
So what happened? So with Yishai, Yishai separated from his wife. He thought through there was a reason why he could no longer be with his wife. He doesn't go into the detail here about what about.
He wasn't a
Moab and Moabit.
Yeah, he was written in the Malokan if she was Jewish or not.
Right.
So he felt like he wasn't a Jew.
So because of that, he separated from his wife. Right? He didn't have to. It was wrong and it was an erroneous rule. He didn't have to, but he separated from his wife. So what happened? So he went to, he thought he was going to have relations with his maidservant,
which
was a Goya, which was the reincarnation of Hagar.
So how can Hagar be a reincarnation to a Goya?
Because she wasn't going anyway. There was no Jews. I mean, Tom, there was. Hagar needed a rectification. So what happened?
How can Hagar have a rectification if she's a Goya?
Why not?
Because there's a spark there.
So she wasn't a Goya, because she married Abraham, and she would have had to have converted in order to marry him.
She would have had to have a spark.
She would have had to have converted. He's not going to have relations with a woman that's a Goya.
Did he marry her?
He was with her. He was with her. He was with her. He's not going to have relations with a Goya. So she would have had to have converted to whatever that meant at that time before Matan Torah. She would have had to become. But she was still a handmaiden. But it doesn't matter. He was a wife. She was a second wife.
Right.
She was a second wife. Even when Minasam, she was just a second wife.
Right. And then after, when Sarah passed away,
there is a status of a concubine / handmaiden type status back then.
Okay.
Not the same
as. Now she gets a new name and everything.
Keturah. She became Keturah. But then she. Okay, don't know.
She was that's what I thought.
Okay, but either way, according to what we're learning here, she comes back as Yishai's handmaiden. Yishai, who separated from his wife, thought that instead that he should be with his handmaiden, right? So what happened now? This time that we had the tikkun, the handmaiden, who was really Hagar, instead, before she belittled Sarah, now the handmaiden goes and tells her mistress, Yishai's wife, that, you know, your husband is intending to be with me. And what happens? They switch. Yishai's wife switches unbeknownst to Yishai. Unbeknownst to Yishai, she switches places. And Yishai sleeps with his wife. His wife becomes pregnant and has David HaMelech, the youngest son. Yishai does not know that David HaMelech is his. He thinks his wife has probably been unfaithful because I haven't been with her and she's now pregnant. Therefore, he puts David HaMelech out in the field. Which is why when Shmuel HaNavi comes and says to Yishai, bring me your sons, I'm going to crown one of them king. He lines them up and David's not amongst them. And he said, and Shmuel looks and says, none of these, have you got any more? And he says there in the text, well, I've got another one, but he's out in the field. What's he doing out in the field? We shouldn't have known, because he's only sitting in my son. He told, I grew him up in my household. My wife gave birth to him, and we're not saying anything. But I don't consider him, I don't even know my son. Really, I consider him, right? So he didn't consider him his son. So they told, bring him in, that's the bond. Then he realized, maybe after that, I don't know, there's no, right? Right? Because that's how David HaMelech had to come into the world. Through such an event, you can only have a holy great soul like that that's considered to be...
Imagine if they had gone the wrong way and he was with the wrong woman, it would have brought another issue.
But you see, all the tikkunim, everything, tikkunim.
She corrected it.
She's Duffy. See the tikkunim. Amazing. Right? Bathsheba, who was the wife of Yehuda married a woman called Bathsheba. It says in the passage in the Bereshit, Bathsheba. Last week's parasha, marries Bathsheba. Yehuda goes off after the selling of Yosef, and he goes and does business in. Gets involved in stuff, and then he marries a wife called Bathsheba. Anyway, Bathsheba returns as Bathsheba. Right? Bathsheba was worthy. She was Yehuda's wife. Right? So she was worthy to bring the Moshiach through her dynasty. But instead he slept with Tamar, and it came through Tamar instead first. But really, it should have come. Everything, if Tamar hadn't happened, it would have come via Yehuda and his proper wife, right, which is Bathsheba. So instead, she has to come back in Bathsheba in order to be with David to bring that spot that needs to come through her into the picture.
Is it not that David was an incarnation from Adam, and Bathsheba was an incarnation from Sarah, from Eva.
Achava.
So, and he saw. Now she belongs to her.
Yes.
Especially that women's one. Names, they usually don't mention in the Torah.
Yeah.
And is that the reason why you mention her name? Maybe it was Judah's wife?
Maybe.
Because of
the fact that she would be coming back. Yeah, maybe. Also, Bathsheba and Bathsheba are very similar linguistically.
So there has to be a reason for it. There's always a reason for everything.
Right.
930 years.
Right. It also, we see here. It says here. It likens what happened with Bathsheba, that she gave of herself to be with King David in an improper situation, in the same way that Tamar did to be with Yehuda. So that sacrifice, she also made the same type of sacrifice to be with David.
So I don't know nothing, but
the first son, he died.
Of Bathsheba, yes.
Yeah, who was
it? Yes, we're going to do
Do you realize how old Bathsheba was when she gave birth to Shlomo?
No, how old?
8 years old.
Oh, according to the Midrash, yeah. Top.
Everything's happening, we don't know nothing. How did it? 25 years old when...
You have to look. You have to look very deep into what the source they're trying to talk about.
Why would Dominic not look for a 7-year-old?
She was already married to Uriah. should be married before. So there's a, there's talk. It's a lot of.
So much to learn.
No, no. Let's stick with what we can deal with.
Huh? It was 3, right? According to one day. Rachel was 3 years old.
No, no.
She got married at 3. She didn't have a child at 3.
No, any married. Tom,
had a child at 3.
Right, so there's lots of things that we still need to learn for Hashem, and that's very good. There's our best advice is to try and deal with what we can and learn what we can, and the other stuff we'll get to when Hashem's ready to open our minds to understand the rest of it. Okay.
What was the sacrifice that Bathsheba made?
Bathsheba, she sacrificed herself to be with King David. She was a married woman.
She
had a get, but he wasn't dead yet. It was a retroactive get, but her husband was still alive before she knew.
Right.
At that point.
They automatically
gave the get. They automatically gave, but it doesn't take. It's only it depends whether it's retroactive or not. Mm-hmm. Whether it's actually applied, because then he can't come home and sleep with her without getting married again first. So that's why it's a conditional get. Because when he came home and King David told him to go back to his wife and he refused, which is one of the reasons why he rebelled. So the fact he was able to go back, he didn't have to go. Yeah, I don't know. Tom, anyway.
But he was
yes.
king at that point.
He was what?
He was king. David was king at that point.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what? You don't believe anything. Go see the movie.
That's for sure. That's for sure.
Walking around, you understand.
This is the only case where, in all cases, the book's always better than the movie. The book is always better. Bathsheba later on reincarnates into Beruria.
Wow.
Beruria, the wife of.
Wow.
Wife of Rabbi Meir Balanes. No, Rabbi Meir Bal Hanes,
okay.
One up in Tiberia, right?
Through
those who know, no,
I don't know
we don't know.
That's why I'm asking.
We just read it from the book, but okay. Those who know. Yes, yeah, Yonkun.
But Berea, she was seduced by a Talmud Chum of Rabbi Meir.
Your people go, well, that's exactly what we're going to say.
It's also good.
That's
exactly
what,
it's, good.
That's, the, that's what we're going to see. So we're going to see here what happens.
I'm open to suggestions. Tell all the women around,
Arizal, Gila, Otam. The Arizal revealed them all. Top.
What?
The Arizal revealed them. Arizal revealed them. Okay, Bathsheba reincarnated into Beruia, the wife of Rabbi Meir. Right. So, what are the similarities? So, the first similarity that they bring up is that Bathsheba was an advisor to the king. Right. She went to King David and told him what to do. Told him to take Shlomo as king and blah blah blah. And we see too that Beruia was a very close counsel to her husband. Beruia was one of the gedolim. Right. She was. We saw that Blina did the story of when they were giving charity and they ran into the oven. And in the oven, the oven was on, right? And Rabbi Meir says to his wife, my feet are getting hot, right? And she says, don't worry, stand on my feet and you'll be fine. So she stood on his feet. And then when they came out, he said, how come your feet weren't getting burned in my word? He said, because when you give charity, it's different than when I give charity. When you give charity, you give people money. When I give charity, I give people food. And my charity, they can use right away. They can eat it. Your charity, they have to go out and actually buy food and make it and whatever. So I'm on a higher level than you. Top. Beruia was on a very high level. Beruia, we learned a very interesting thing in the Gemara, which we're recording, Top. Anyone who's listening to this and is not at the level to use it properly should ignore it, and it shouldn't go into your head, and you should just forget it as soon as you've heard it. The Gemara says that a woman has a weak will, a weak mind. The Gemara says it. Ruria, who was a hugely knowledgeable Tamid Chachamat, Tamid HaChacham, said to her husband, I disagree with this. It's not the case that all women have a very weak mind. What does it mean they have a weak mind? It means that they can be persuaded against their will to do something. So she told this to her husband. So what did Rabbi Meir do? Rabbi Meir put the Shamayim above, put the Torah. You can't go against the Torah. So what the Torah says. So in order to prove it to his wife, he told one of his students to seduce his wife. This is Bruria, it's not Stamets, it's Bruria the Gedolah, who goes into another and doesn't get birth, right? Told one of his students, not like another Gadol, an unnamed student, right? To seduce his wife. And the Gemara relates that he was successful. And then it says Bruria, from embarrassment, killed herself. Now, the Gemara there doesn't say whether or not anything happened, or just what she knew that she'd been. The positive way of looking at the kind way the chasut is that nothing happened, chas v'shalom, but she realized she'd been wrong. She realized that she was about to be seduced, and what the Gemara says was true. Women's minds are weak and they can be. And that was the embarrassment that killed her, not the embarrassment that she slept with him and now she's embarrassed. You can understand it both ways. It says that he was successful. We don't know why he was successful at, but top. Either way, she killed herself as a result of that.
That's very heavy.
It's very heavy.
She killed herself.
Now,
this is one of the things that are not.
So what happened? So it says here that Uriah, who was the husband of Bathsheba, right, that was killed, reincarnated into one of Rabbi Meir Balanes's students, i.e., the student.
Wow.
Right. Who attempted to seduce Beruria, reading from what it says here. She became so distraught by her own actions, she killed herself. Bathsheba was the cause of Uriah's death, and now he was the cause of her death.
I don't understand.
Right? So what's the tikkun? The tikkun is that Bathsheba, let me finish and then see if it makes sense, and if not, Bathsheba caused her husband's death by agreeing to be with King David, led to her husband being killed, putting him in a position that he would have to be killed. Her husband comes back as a student of Rabbi Meir and causes her death by causing her to be killed. Yes, questions? Question.
Always. They fix something. Yeah.
Okay.
So what is the fixing for Bathsheba? She killed herself.
Here, if we know from the Torah that a person that kills someone and it's not fixed has to come back and be killed, maybe back come back and be killed by that person that they killed. That's the tikkun.
No, for her. She called herself. She's not more valuable.
He called her to be killed. She wouldn't have killed herself if this student hadn't seduced her. You don't know. She wouldn't have killed herself. She was a gadolet. Gadolet. She was a gadolet. That's my new word. She was a gadolet. He caused her to be embarrassed and to kill herself. In the same way, indirectly, her actions led to her husband's death. Indirectly. So what we see is she indirectly caused the death of her husband, and he indirectly caused her death. Yes,
Gilgalim, where like, you know, someone did a really good favor for someone and they come back to do a nice favor for them.
Yeah,
and
that too.
Have a positive relationship.
That too. We're seeing both sides. We're seeing in here both sides.
Okay.
But the truth is, what did Gilgalim come? Gilgalim don't come to do back favors. We don't do back favors in a Gilgal. Coming back as a Gilgal is a rectification for doing something wrong. And this comes to fix it. Right? It's not good to have to come back. Not coming back to do you a favor. You were very kind to me in this lifetime. I have to come back into my next lifetime to do you a favor back. No.
Right, but like you said, the autistic child who has already done everything, that they're here just to
fix something that they haven't fixed. Fix something that they haven't yet fixed. They have a small tikkun left to do.
Ah, I thought you said they did. I thought you said they've done all the mitzvahs.
Yeah, they have, but they still they don't need those mitzvahs, but they need something else. They have a small tikkun,
okay,
otherwise they wouldn't be here. Right, so they have a small tikkun left to do, but otherwise they're mushlam, they're complete.
Because they're explained by the Chofetz Chaim that they're butter from all mitzvah, they can't sin.
Right.
So they come in this life and they come through this life clean. There's no sin. So they actually make it through.
Right.
Without
sinning.
So that's
right. Oh, so that could also be a tikkun to make it
right.
But usually it's people who are very on a very high level, so they don't need, because normally a person, a human, a shaman, needs the mitzvahs in order to rectify it, but they're to a level where they don't need the mitzvahs anymore.
They're coming back
But there was, I know, a case of a child who came back as CP, cerebral palsy. It came back because the previous Gilgul was a Jew in the time of the Shoah who pretended not to be a Jew in order not to be part of the Gzeirah on the Jews. And to come back that way to repair that.
Okay.
Did Rebbe know about this?
He knew that, well, I don't know for sure, but I would suggest that I don't think he knew his wife was going to kill herself. I think he was trying to point out to his wife the error of her ways. Like, she's on a very high level. If you and your wife are having a conversation and she says, you're telling her about the Gemara you learned today in Yeshiva, she says, doesn't sound right to me. From Shemayim, they don't get their knickers in a twist. They don't get excited about that and start moving the right. But when the wife of Rabbi Meir, who was huge, has a problem with Torah, so now we need to, right? It's a big problem. Monster. So and he knew he was Rabbi Meir Bar Anes, it's huge as well. So he knew that way you're gonna embarrass your wife by putting one of your students in position. Yeah, because he's aware that he realized that's what needs to be done here.
Because she was doubting
the Chachamim, doubting the Chazal. Yeah, it's not. You can't do that.
She knew all the Mishnah all day. She learned two Mishnah from Rabbi Yochanan every day.
Right. We learn stuff through it. We learn from Beruria. Beruria is one of the few women in the Gemara we actually learn. We learn through Beruria. We don't. She's huge. Tom, I think we'll stop there for today. That's enough excitement, and we'll carry on.